Hello, my name is Tony Reid. Welcome to GAY, a radio programme for gay people and their friends on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. Today I continue my programme about the gay World War I poets Siegfried Sassoon and Wilfred Owen. At the end of the last, at the end of the first programme, I talked particularly about their attitudes to religion, and I played you the Agnus Dei from the Benjamin Britten War Requiem, which included a poem by Wilfred Owen. As I said in part one, Britten's genius was to combine the Owen poems with the traditional Latin Requiem as a commentary on the Latin text, and often in contradiction to it. And the place where this is most obvious is reference to Abraham. In the traditional Requiem, one high, more positive point is the statement, "As he promised to Abraham our forefathers and his seed forever." This is a more positive moment in the Requiem, and it's traditionally done as a big grand fugue by the chorus. And that is what Britten does. But then he includes Owen's poem, The Parable of the Old Man and the Young. This is Owen's take on the story of when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son to test his obedience. Abraham duly goes about it, but at the last minute God says, "Whoa, I didn't mean that. I was only testing your obedience. Here is a ram in the thicket instead." And so Abraham sacrifices the ram instead, and the promise is made. Let us hear what Owen makes of this story, with Kenneth Branagh reading the poem again.
The Parable of the Old Man and the Young. So Abraham rose and clave the wood and went and took the fire with him and a knife. And as they sojourned, both of them together, Isaac the firstborn spake and said, "My father, behold the preparations, fire and iron, but where the lamb for this burnt offering?" Then Abraham bound the youth with belts and straps, and builded parapets and trenches there, and stretched forth the knife to slay his son, when lo, an angel called him out of heaven, saying, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him, thy son. Behold, caught in a thicket by its horns, a ram. Offer the ram of pride instead." But the old man would not so, but slew his son, and half the seed of Europe, one by one.
Sassoon also developed through his friendship with Owen at Craig Lockhart. Here is a poem called "Does It Matter?" that he actually wrote in Craig Lockhart in 1917. "Does it matter losing your legs? For people will always be kind, and you need not show that you mind when the others come in after hunting to gobble their muffins and eggs. Does it matter losing your sight? There's such splendid work for the blind, and people will always be kind as you sit on the terrace remembering and turning your face to the light. Do they matter, those dreams from the pit? You can drink and forget and be glad, and people won't say that you're mad, for they'll know that you fought for your country, and no one will worry a bit." The Hero, also by Siegfried Sassoon. "Jack fell as he'd have wished," the mother said, and folded up the letter that she'd read. "The colonel writes so nicely," something broke in the tired voice that quavered to a choke. She half looked up. "We mothers are so proud of our dead soldiers." Then her face was bowed. Quietly the brother officer went out. He told the poor old dear some gallant lies that she would nourish all her days, no doubt. For while he coughed and mumbled, her weak eyes had shone with gentle triumph, brimmed with joy, because he'd been so brave, her glorious boy. He thought how Jack, cold-footed, useless swine, had panicked down the trench that night the mine went up at Wicked Corner, how he'd tried to get sent home, and how at last he'd died, blown to small bits. and no one seemed to care, except that lonely woman with white hair. And Mr. Branner, again, reading one of Owen's other most famous poems, which actually is the first poem also set in the War Requiem, Anthem for Doomed Youth. This was actually a poem, the manuscript survives, with recommended changes by Sassoon. Even the title, one, I forget the original word, wasn't doomed, but it is now doomed. And Owen was so willing to be influenced by Sassoon that at one point he even does two versions and allows Sassoon to tick which one he thinks is best. So although this Anthem for Doom Youth is by Owen, Sassoon's hand is very much in it.
Anthem for Doomed Youth. What passing bells for these who die as cattle? Only the monstrous anger of the guns, only the stuttering rifles' rapid rattle can patter out their hasty orisons. No mockeries now for them, no prayers nor bells, nor any voice of mourning save the choirs, the shrill, demented choirs of wailing shells and bugles calling for them from sad shires. What candles may be held to speed them all? Not in the hands of boys, but in their eyes shall shine the holy glimmers of goodbyes. The pallor of girls' brows shall be their pall, their flowers the tenderness of patient minds, and each slow dusk a drawing down of blinds.
A few years ago, the BBC did a documentary on Wilfred Owen, presented by Jeremy Paxman, with Samuel Barnett from the History Boys actually playing Owen. And I'd always wanted to see it and recommend it to you, which I suppose I do, but I've now finally seen it because it's on YouTube. It's never been shown here, but you can view it on YouTube. But it, to me, produces some of the problems in understanding Owen because of what it leaves out. It doesn't actually do that many of the poems. It spends so much time talking about what the war was actually like and having Jeremy Paxman firing a machine gun and things, which is interesting in its way, but doesn't tell you a great deal about Owen, and you feel the time could have been better spent in having more of the poems in. But two things I noted from him. One, there is a total lack of mention of his homosexuality, which I think I've already shown was relatively significant. And secondly, the statement that, of course, he went back and he was very brave, so he wasn't a pacifist, etc. Owen's homosexuality is certainly central to an understanding of his mature war poems, at least. Paul Kildee, the Benjamin Britten's biographer, says Owen's poems are steeped in mud, blood, and homoeroticism. And Stallworthy, the editor of the war poems, although saying that he didn't think that Owen actually did anything, states, what is certain, however, is that Owen and Sassoon wrote more eloquently than other poets of the tragedy of boys killed in battle because they felt that tragedy more acutely, more personally. And we've seen from his time in London how he was steeped in, how he met Robbie Ross, and don't forget these were all close friends of Sassoon as well that he met, that he was well aware of the Wildean tradition. And I think it's very important, and therefore I think that omitting that from any documentary about Owen is removing an important chunk. I mean, there are some people some historical people you can say, and he was also gay, but it didn't seem to affect him much. But I think Owen is not in that category. Similarly, the pacifism. Obviously, Owen went back to fight and was therefore not a full pacifist. Again, I return to my grandfather, who was considered a pacifist, although he never refused to fight and fought throughout the First World War, surviving the Battle of the Somme. My grandmother related that one of her proudest moments of him was when he was actually demoted towards the end of the war for giving a German prisoner a cigarette. She obviously thought that said rather positive things about him. And in one letter to his family, Owen said, "Although I have comprehended a light which never will filter into the dogma of any national church, namely that one of Christ's essential commands was passivity at any price, suffer dishonour and disgrace, but never resort to arms, be bullied, be outraged, be killed, but do not kill." And you saw the similar views in the poem that we ended with the War Requiem setting of part one, at a Calvary near Ancre. He had those views, so that is in some ways a pacifist view, and would certainly not be the standard view that was expected of an officer in World War One. So certainly for Owen, I would say that omission. So do watch the Wilfred Owen, A Remembrance Tale, where it was presented by Jeremy Paxman on YouTube, but do bear in mind that I think he leaves a great deal out. Of course, if you want to see a film about World War One, I still believe that the greatest film ever made on that war was All Quiet on the Western Front. It's a very early talkie, made in 1930, but it still packs an enormous punch. It's largely because it is so subdued and underspoken. It's the story, of course, of a group of German soldiers, all played by Americans. They make really no attempt to sound German, thank goodness. And it was a film made with no big stars, but it is still, considering it was only made about 2 years after the talkies started, an amazing film to watch. And its picture of World War One, you could virtually read the Owen poems while you're watching while you're watching that film. Sassoon often refers to very specific ideas, and in a sense to be deliberately provocative on a number of issues. One of those is he actually wrote a poem which I won't read, referring to the atrocities whereby German prisoners of war were murdered. And in fact, it's come to light fairly recently that this poem was, although it was published, it was heavily censored, and the original version of the poem has only recently come to light because it wasn't considered good form to do that. Another example, which is a little similar to The Hero, is Suicide in the Trenches, published in early 1918. "I knew a simple soldier boy who grinned at life in empty joy, slept soundly through the lonesome dark, and whistled early with the lark. In winter trenches, cowed and glum, with crumps and lice and lack of rum, he put a bullet through his brain. No one spoke of him again. You smug-faced crowds with kindling eye who cheer when soldier lads march by, sneak home and pray you'll never know the hell where youth and laughter go." As I say, Sassoon survived the First World War, and a number of the poems in the War Poems volume that I've been reading for actually post-date the war. And one of the last ones is called "On Passing Through the Menin Gate." The Menin Gate, I have seen it. It is a huge gate at the eastern end of the city of Ypres, at the beginning of the Menin Road, going out to Hellfire Corner and Passchendaele, etc., etc. It's not so much a gate as a tunnel. It's sort of rather in the fortifications of the town, which are at that point a very wide mound. Now there's actually a park on the top. It's that wide. And you go in, and apparently there are 54,889 names engraved on the gate. The idea was that it was those who they know who died, but they have no identified grave. every night ever since it was built, apart from during the German occupation and the Second World War, the last post has been sounded. So it's a very symbolic thing. I can assure you, it's rather overwhelming. So Sassoon visited it when it was just after it was built and wrote one of his most savage and bitter war poems in many ways. This poem was started in 1927 and finished off at the next January. Who will remember passing through this gate the unheroic dead who fed the guns? Who shall absolve the foulness of their fate, those doomed, conscripted, unvictorious ones? Crudely renewed, the salient holds its own. Paid are its dim defenders by this pomp. Paid with a pile of peace-complacent stone, the armies who endured that sullen swamp. Here was the world's worst wound, and here with pride their name liveth for ever, the gateway claims. Was ever an immolation so belied as these intolerably nameless names? Well might the dead who struggled in the slime rise and deride this sepulchre of crime. I think that's one of his most powerful poems in many ways. I'm going to close this second half of my programme on the war poets with a rather more substantial chunk of Benjamin Britten's War Requiem. Many people think the greatest part of the War Requiem. It's the section of the Latin Requiem called the Lacrimosa. That day is one of weeping on which we shall rise again from the ashes. The guilty man is to be judged, therefore spare this one, O God, Lacrimosa dies illa. That is sung by the soprano and the chorus, in the middle of this, the tenor sings the Wilfred Owen poem Futility. Move him into the sun. Gently its touch awoke him once at home, whispering of fields half sown, until it woke him, even in France, until this morning and this snow. If anything might rouse him now, that kind old sun will know. Think how it wakes the seeds, woke once the clays of a cold star, our limbs so dear achieved, our sides full nerves still warm, too hard to stir. Was it for this the clay grew tall? Oh, what made fatuous sunbeams toil to break earth's sleep at all? You'll find in the setting that a lot of the words are repeated in the singing. I've always found the repeating of the word fatuous particularly telling, and I am going to do this in a modern recording, not the famous traditional recording. This one was only a recording only from last year. They're still coming thick and fast. It seems to be a live concert in Italy, and the soloists are an English tenor, Ian Bostrich, who you'll hear in this, a famous American baritone, Thomas Hampson, and again a Russian soprano, the soprano Anna Netrebko, who's quite famous for opera in the New York Metropolitan, etc. No German in this occasion, but so it's just the Allies in this one. This ends part one of Benjamin Britten's Requiem, and the War Requiem, and it is considered probably the greatest, most telling passage in it. Thank you.
gently, gently, its touch awoke him once. A tone, whispering of fields unsown. Always it woke him, even in France, until this morning. If anything might rouse him now, a kind old sun, then think how it wakes the seas. Oh, once the glaze of a cold, cold star, a limbs, limbs so dear achieved, a sight full mad, still
Thank you.
And that is my double programme on the war poets Siegfried Sassoon and Wilfred Owen. Their war poems are both readily available in print.
This programme was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and Access Internet Radio. Thanks, New Zealand On Air.